This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 24th of November, 1953. The title of this lecture is Steps 5, 6, 7, Duplication, Unconsciousness. This tape is 62 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
And this is the first afternoon lecture of the 24th November, 1953. And the aim of this lecture could very well be the death wish. We're going to talk about death. And as soon as we get down to technique level 5, we have to talk about death. Same with 6 and same with 7. It is very difficult for somebody to recognize the operation that goes on here with Earth and with life, so long as they believe that continuous and consistent, persistent survival is in itself desirable. You understand that? All, quote, thinking, unquote, on this and many other planets is oriented toward a persistency of survival as a unit organism. And as long as one holds with that philosophy, one will never understand what is going on. As long as one believes, for instance, that work and pain are undesirable, and that unconsciousness is desirable, he's going to stay in a very horribly aberrated state because he's got his vectors reversed. There are two conditions. There's the condition known as reality. That's the one you see on the bulletin boards and which is advertised in the public school and which is carried out by the police safety campaigns and so on. That's reality. And that's a universe operation, persistence as a unit organism. And then there's actuality, which is that work is tremendously desirable. That pain is a sensation which in itself is desirable. And that persistence as a unit organism is almost untenably undesirable. Now, looking at these factors, if we recognize these two things, we'll be able to, quote, understand life, unquote. You're trying to understand life, and you're trying to know. In order to know, you have to be aware. So, we have consciousness as being another thing which is tremendously important. And if you believe that unconsciousness is relatively desirable, again, you're on a reverse vector. Complete consciousness is desirable. That's not ultimate consciousness. That's enough consciousness to know at least what you're choosing for randomity at the moment. And we find that unconsciousness, however, in many individuals, is a substitute for the impossibility of fighting survival as a unit organism. One cannot fight this. It's enforced by the police. It's enforced by the church. It's enforced by the family, by the culture, by the mores. One can even be arrested in this society for committing suicide. If you commit suicide and fail, they throw you in the clink. And all teachings incline toward fearing death. Death is something to be afraid of. After you die, you go to hell. That is simply a religious hammer and pound to get you to drop your nickel on the drum. And so we have a person trying to be unconscious in order to end survival as a unit organism. You see that? It's a halfway end of cycle, unconsciousness. So unconsciousness itself is never desirable, except when one is completely overpowered by other determinism. And then, of course, unconsciousness is a token of death. Just a token. And then one doesn't feel or register, he says, what is being done by the other determinisms. All right, this is a terribly interesting situation. We have then the very factors of pain, unconsciousness, as being the aberrated common denominator of all engrams, for instance. One of them is an effort to die, unconsciousness, and the other one is an effort to prove to oneself that one is alive. And so we have a somethingness, the pain, surrounded by the nothingness, unconsciousness, which in itself made the aberrated characteristic of the engram. And much more important than this, however, to us, is it tells us of an end of cycle. The first time an individual went unconscious, he probably said, to hell with the mock-up, here I go, and then had to come back. He's been doing this for trillions of years, trying to get rid of the mock-up, trying to shove off and take another run at it. And somebody is always around, insisting, and the automatic machinery of the mock-up itself and the automaticity of this entire universe insists that he pick up the mock-up again. And he stays in a state of semi-consciousness as a protest thereafter. It parks him right on the track. And there is the most significant parking place of your pre-clear on the time track. And there is the resistive five with this slight addition. The resistive five went normally somewhere on the track. He went, left the body, found nothing, and came back. Somebody has a terribly lost feeling. They had a body somewhere else. There's this mechanism known as the body impulse. All kinds of mechanisms like this, all up and down the track. They've been all over the place. One doesn't have to go into the incredible at all. It's much simpler than this, but you should know this data. And this terrible lost feeling that people get is proceeding outward from a body and coming back into the body and poem, and it's dead or it's gone. See, the intention is to go back to the body and poem. Leave the body, which has just gone unconscious or they just think is dead or is going to be too mangled up to make life interesting, not mobile. And they go back to the body and poem area and find the body and poem gone. They will thereafter go to psychiatrists and wander around and stumble and so on. The body they have, they don't want here on earth. And the body and pawn is missing. And it causes considerable disturbance. Here again, you have location. They want to be located. The body and pawn is an anchor point which locates them. When they lose that anchor point, they get nothing but blackness. They can't find their way because they're finding their way, if they have to find their way, between two anchor points, the one on earth and the body and pawn, and they shuttle between these two, and if one of them turns up missing, then they have prime post unposted, no exit. And now you try to exteriorize this fellow, and he knows he doesn't have any place to go because he's under the delusion that he has to have a body and pawn to which he must exit. So he pings right there, and he stays put. Now the other part of it is he gets hung up with the effort of trying to stay conscious while unconsciousness is pounding him from every side, or trying to remain unconscious while people are trying to make him conscious, and the last is the least kind. He's left this body. This body, you say, is dead or near death, being operated on. It's just been run over, crashed in a plane or something of the sort. And he leaves this body. Running engrams and so forth, trying to find people on the track, you can overlook every portion of every kind of an incident except this one. Dead body. He shoves up. Then he comes back. Because he couldn't find the body in pawn, or if he did find it, the body down there woke up. Somebody brought it back to life. And he's being forced to stay alive. And after that, he acts like it to the whole society. Now, when he's trying to stay unconscious, he's actually not trying to stay unconscious at all. He's trying to find that point of death where he departed, so he can depart again, because he thinks the exit is there, and he's otherwise lost. So he's trying to stay conscious, and something is making him unconscious, and then it reverses. He'll protect the mock-up for a short time, and then when he gives up, he goes unconscious. Now, if somebody revives the body, makes it conscious again, they snap him back into it. There's all sorts of incidents occur, such as he can appear in a body and pawn area, and it seems to be that whoever is there knows the body on earth isn't dead. You see, they just turn him around and give him an implant and shoot him back the other time, and he comes up at the other end of the operation, having been gone during the entire operation. Isn't even in the operating room. You want to know what happens to people during operations? They generally leave. Now, the first time this happens here on Earth, the more intolerably persistent this society gets. People are so careful, they used to say, well, if the bears don't get him, he'll live to be a fine young man. If he doesn't go out and fall in the river, why, we'll have him around Jeff. There was no great scarcity, you see, of the body, that sort of thing. And in a relatively primitive society with lots of menaces and dangers, you had him able to get out and get messed up. And if he got too messed up, he didn't have any tremendous strings on him. That is to say, he didn't have this horrible mawkish, you've got to stay with us. And then in this society today, with school programs for safety, with this, with that, yap, 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 the chances of getting killed are getting slighter and slighter and slighter and slighter. With penicillin, with all of these other persistent drugs, we're getting a point where the individual is unable to get rid of a mock-up. Just that. He can't get rid of the mock-up. So he goes out in the war, and if they were fighting the war of 1610 or 1505 or over in Flanders, and he walked through the castle breach, something like that, and somebody took off half his face with a morning star, believe me, if the blow didn't finish him, the bugs would, and he'd be out of there in a few days. But now, what did they do? They pick him up, and they give him sulfa, and they patch him up, and they do some plastic surgery, and he's in the hospital being tortured for months, all under the conclusion that he hates pain and can't stand pain. He's already gone that far, you see. And he's patched up some more, and then older and less able, and with what beauty he has completely spoiled, he has to drag this goddamn walk-up around for the next 30 or 40 years. See that? See, the philosophy behind this made him persist. The unkindest thing you can do is to make somebody persistent. That's the unkindest thing anybody can do, is to take serious battle casualties, for instance, and patch them up. Imagine the sadism of this universe when today they still have casualties, immobile casualties, from World War I in veterans' hospitals. No good to anybody, but still alive. They've got a Thetan part right there. Boom. And boy, I'm saying there's really an apathy. Oh, no. Well, his knowledge of what he is, where he goes, and what he does deteriorates because he holds on to that unconsciousness. If he could just convince him he was dead, if he could just convince this thing, this mock-up, that he was dead, it would let go of him, he thinks. If he could just kill it some fashion or another, why, he could shove off. Because, you see, his perceptics aren't ordinarily bad. One of the most astonishing things that can happen to somebody is to go along a number of years blind and then get blown up violently enough to exteriorize suddenly with full perception. You generally will find somebody parked around about that point when they've been tortured too much in the life they're living about getting rid of the mock-up. They'll go back and find these astonishing moments trying to reassure themselves that if they do leave the thing, if they do give it a swift kick, they can still see, still feel, and still find another mock-up. It's fascinating. Here you have this the whole of the universe sort of militating against good sense. And good sense is to live fast, live beautifully, and live dangerously. And if you get bashed in, knock it off. Get another one. But the universe wants to tell you it's all scarce. You can't get another body. No, you have to patch up that one you have. That's why I've been telling people here for a year, psychosomatics, ho-hum. And if you as an auditor think you're going to do yourself any good by specializing in knocking out psychosomatic ills, you're going to go downhill. Why? Because you're creating and furthering this whole idea of super scarcity in this universe. What is a solution to a non-survival problem? A solution to a non-survival problem is a thing which cuts out the randomity which proceeds from that moment because of non-survival. People who go around all the time figuring out how to survive longer are wasting randomity. They're wasting motion, wasting action, wasting adventure. And what do you know? It isn't that I'm saying this or that this is a philosophy which I have invented for your delection, nor is it that merely makes good reading or good talking. This happens to make excellent processing. You must understand some of this material quite subjectively in order to recognize what the devil is wrong with a 5, 6, 7. Why don't these people, you know, snap to and exteriorize easily? Well, let's look at the case. Just take any case. And let's diagnose him. Got a black field. That in itself is not important. It's not. Beyond telling you that he's automatically unmocking everything before it can happen. And he's using the method used by the messed universe itself, which is black space. So he's unmocking things before they happen, which means he is planning for further survival continually. He's on an inversion. These people are very careful. They're very prudent, ordinarily. And they're quite clever. And they certainly can make things persist, believe me. Whether it's an aberration or anything else, they'll just drag it out to the last dog is dangling by the neck. This is the one thing. Now, that's obvious about them. But there's something else you might not notice at first hand. They have collapsed no and not no, so that they are on a maybe. You see, no is always the cause end of a communication line, and not no is the receipt end of a communication line. And when no and not no, when the terminals collapse, and it comes right straight together, you see, why they get on this tremendous maybe of no, not no. They don't know whether they're there or not there or so on. That's the appearance they give. But none of these are important mechanisms, but this one is, this one. They get a mock-up, and you tell them to put it away, and they get it back. They put it away, and it comes back. Now, just watch this. Watch this. For instance, how many here, once they banish the mock-up, are very prone to have it turn up for a little while? Sure. Or, when they banish it, they get a little shadow of it. They always have a little shadow of it. Same thing. Now, just go over this exercise. Mock up a small ball and throw it directly away from you in front. What does the ball do? What does it do? That's right. What does it do? Did you do that?
Yeah, it's out there still.
Good.
Quite a ways out there.
Good. Fine. Well, that time when the ball came back tells you of somebody being forced to continue his existence after he's already kicked it off. Just that little exercise tells you that. Just ping. Just like that. Anytime you tell some preclear, all right, now make it disappear, make it disappear. Now get another one. All right, now make it disappear. They say, what'll I do with the first one? Or if you're very, very clever and alert as an auditor, you will say, did the first ones come back? You always said no. What this case is doing. Same thing as the ball. You can ask the same case to throw the ball away from in front of him. It'll come back and hit him. Or it won't move at all, or it'll just go in random motion. When the ball just goes in random motion, that just tells you that they don't know whether they're there or left or it's Christmas. Ball just starts whanging around, going in the random motion in all directions and so forth. They can't anticipate it. This is pretty grim. This just tells you that this is the reflex. That's no and not no collapse together, which is a communication line, and it leaves them hung up in the middle of the communication line. They obviously must be in the middle of the communication line if they threw the ball and received the ball. See? So, here's a particle en route. Well, how did they get the idea of their particle en route? Well, a body almost kicked off, and they had this tremendous struggle. They tried to keep it from becoming unconscious, and then they failed to keep it from becoming unconscious. And being unconscious tried to leave, and then they had to bring it back to consciousness again because others insisted. Follow that? First they wanted to be conscious, and that was defeated. And then they wanted to be unconscious and shove off, and that gets defeated. And when you get a mock-up, which comes back after it's been banished, by the way, sometimes they don't come back for 5 hours. One guy I knew didn't get them back for about a week. He got them back, though, regularly in uniform, about a week later. This was what's known as a communication lag. I would say in such a case that you had this person back on the track about umpteen billion years, see? I mean, he's been at this and doing it a long time. I don't think it just happens once. It'll happen a lot of times. How many times have you read about or thought about or you recall of somebody being unconscious and other people standing around and shoving ammonia at them and cupping their cheeks and chafing their wrists and shaking them by the shoulders and trying to bring them to? It even got to be a habit back in the days of Camille. You know, she was the one that made TB popular in America. And here we have this continuous dramatization. Everybody's saying, persist, 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 persist. And nobody ever occurs to anybody, he might not want to. Except very sadly, well, she has a dramatic, you know, three-dimensional, 85-foot screen in full color, or back in Vitagraph, 3-foot screen in full jerk. Well, she has no further will to live. Send for her son, and maybe he can bring her back. Now, very often, with this auditor pre-clear arrangement, where the pre-clear does the bunk, the pre-clear can only be persuaded to come back for the auditor. But the auditor always persuades him to come back, because the society does not permit him to have an inanimate mock-up. The reason people love murder stories has nothing to do with loving police. There's at least a dead body in them. And the fellow who does an able job of murder writing, who knows that, just mops the field up every time. He just ruins all his competition. Just keep dropping the bodies, fella. Don't put much mystery around about it. Just drop the body. Kill them quick and impressively. Big impacts. Slow deaths don't sell well. You can see why. But an entire society, I don't say this is one, it is, but I'm not saying that in this paragraph. An entire society gets to a point of where it's begging to be unconscious. See, it's just dramatizing the organism. Just begging. And all of its mechanisms and everything else it's got set up to keep saying, live, live, live. And pretty soon, the whole society is lying around just begging for death, actually. And rabbits, by this time, are the ones that go along and they do all the work and they put the food into the mouths and they turn on the heat at the right time and change the ventilation systems and move the bodies elsewhere and so on. That's the way it goes. The universe becomes more and more automatic. For one reason only, and that is it's rigged to persist. It has no motto but persistence. The very first fact a person learns when studying about matter, whether in chemistry or physics, is simply this. It persists. Only they call it conservation of energy. I don't know how they get that fancy phrase out of the mere fact that this stuff can't be destroyed by chemical means. They never add that, you know. They had no proof that this was not true. It just never occurred to anybody to modify the statement to what they really knew. They know that this stuff cannot, they know this completely, that this material, this matter, the mess of the universe, cannot be reduced and vanquished and made to disappear forever by chemical or physical means. That's all they know. See, they don't know anything beyond that. They could surmise that there could be some kind of a machine called a disintegrator. But every textbook you see on the subject doesn't even permit the disintegrator to appear. So here's the universe dramatizing persistence. It has a cycle. This is a cycle of this universe. It is not even necessarily the cycle. That's why we're studying this cycle. When you're processing somebody in this universe, you have to process time. Because that is what is meant by persist. Time, persist, conservation of energy, these are synonyms for our purposes. Time. Anytime you say time, you're just saying persist. That is the motto of time. That is what time is. That is what time means. Time means a uniform rate of persistence. And it gets so bad that people can't conceive of the fact that there is no time. And yet all they are is standing suspended, you might say, motionless, not moving, not going anyplace, over a pattern of shifting particles in which they believe. And so we have this incredible picture of a time taking priority and time driving everybody in every direction. So we enter into every step, wherever we can, the cycle of action, since the cycle of action is itself time. And we have two things with which we're dealing. We have location and we have time. Knowingness is senior to both of them. But cycle of action, time, persistence, the prayer of anybody in this universe is, of course, the ambitiousness of a thief is fantastic. He's always trying to start something, too. But his prayer, as far as mock-ups are concerned, is, my God, someday, end it. There's Schopenhauer, the will and the idea. The death wish. Men have written about this since man could write. He's written about this desire for death. And nobody has believed much in a death wish. A death wish isn't popular. In my early studies, I couldn't see where the death wish fitted in or what it was all about exactly, where it collided with logic and reason. Well, it doesn't. It just happens to be end of cycle, that's all. And if you name it dramatically, the death wish, it becomes incomprehensible to people because they look around and they say, well, I don't want to die. I want to live better. And then you say, well, how about your teeth? Let's see, you've got several wisdom teeth. You've got some molars and so forth. And when they start to go to pieces, what about that? Well, I'll think about that when that happens. And say, well, now, you know, people get old, they have heart trouble and that sort of thing. Well, no. Well, I'll get through that somehow, I guess. I hope. They have no wish to go through that. I mean, it's nonsense. Well, why go through butchering up a mock-up? It's much more fun to be outside doing the butchering. But pain itself being scarce, they are on the basis of they must persist because the pain is too great to die. As long as death is considered painful, and as long as the soul can be conceived to be punished after death by going to heaven and sitting bored forever, what a wonderful invention. I mean, that's the most wonderful invention of the early centuries of the last two millennia. Gee, gorgeous. He sat on a cloud thrumming a harp, which was probably out of tune. Yeah, wearing a halo lit by the courtesy of Yahweh.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
Of course, this was an effort to keep people from dying. They painted this wholly colorless, grim, gruesome idea of being bored for an eternity. They were always careful to say eternity, too. Or they got burned, see, and burned to a cinder forever. That's really interesting, see, how you got burned to a cinder forever. They had no slightest concept of the conservation of energy. No wonder a physicist despises some of the religious textbook, you see, because the idea of fire, unfed, persisting forever, is highly untechnical. So on the two sides, we have science and religion at war, and both of them are not at war at all. They're hand in glove. I think they put on a huge show in order to have a dichotomy. But when it comes to somebody being free to jettison the mock-up, this is a computation which is kind of new in this universe. Kind of new. And it would help you a lot as an auditor to recognize that you could run mock-ups without being too closely associated with them. Not because it's dangerous to be associated with them at all, but they just aren't they aren't quite that interesting. And they don't produce enough randomity. Now, this society is moving at a rate which, well, I'm sure that the rate at which the society is moving would make a turtle seem like a jet plane, as far as it's concerned. It's almost stopped, as far as randomity is concerned. You can stand down there on the corner for hours and hear lots of fast cars, hear lots of perfectly savage, careless, stupid drivers and everything else. Nobody gets hit. You can stand there for hours. No randomity. Hear police standing around everywhere. Over here in New Jersey, by the way, they're very definitely dramatizing the Fifth Invader. It's just wonderful. You see these Jersey State Police? That is the uniform of the Fifth Invader Force. And friendship is dying together in the Fifth Invader Force. It's gorgeous. I mean, every one of those cops looks sick. He looks real sick. Boy, he's keyed in across the boards. But they're carrying this mock-up, and they got to make it persist and make everybody else's mock-ups persist. It's a religion, actually. Let's all get down and pray that our mock-ups persist. The arms fall off, and the legs fall off, and the eyes fall out, and they develop psoriasis and syphilis, and we still drag them along the streets, you see. Make it persist. What an enemy of beauty that concept is. The dramatization that only the only good paintings there are at least 300 years old is another symptom of this, you see. All good paintings are old paintings. This is some kind of an effort on the part of an artist who is more sadistic than I care to have around, or an art critic, to make people recognize that it can only be beautiful if it's old or something. This is completely in reverse to the fact of the case. Now you go back and look at some of the bodies that have been around on the track. You look at some of these bodies. Well, you go back there about 1,000 years and get a good look at it. Go back there a couple of 1,000 years and get some good looks at it. And they're very beautiful. Very beautiful. And boy, did they die young. You know, it's only been the fashion to live for a while in this society here. It's only been the fashion in the last 30, 40 years, 50 years. They've only dragged in this carcass on this continent. They got a tremendous philosophy on it. They just say, breed like hell, boys, breed like hell. and let the mock-ups fall where they may. They're God juggernaut is interesting that way. They can always go out and throw themselves under juggernaut. Nobody ever objects to anybody in India being found dead. Well, they're dead. They're dead. They get married when they're 12 or 14, kick the bucket when they're 21, 28. Real quick, the only trouble with the people is it's too hot there, and they key in all the prenatals they've got. It's about 90. Anytime you get a climate which is approaching 98.6, you can get the whole prenatal bank keyed in almost perpetually, because that's the temperature in the prenatal bank, 98.6. That's why hot countries turn feminine, so forth. So it's not a hardy country. But way up north, those boys live with kind of wild abandon, too, they always have. But you go around graveyards of 1870, 1880, and start reading the tombstones. Here is this old man of 17 who kicked the bucket and left a wife and two children. And so on. It's real young. And here's this old Scrooge, this completely worn-out dog of 28, who lived almost forever. And, gee, they were glad when he shoved off. Lived practically forever. Once in a while, somebody puts up his head with 101 years or 110 years old he is and expects to be congratulated. Well, if you don't have the technology, if you don't know how to make a mock-up run pretty easily, or how to patch its beauty up, so forth, the best answer, if you can't keep one running persistently beautiful, and the best answer, of course, is to get another one. But in a society where they keep them going regardless of how they look, what can you do? Well, it's as much as your life's worth to get born into this society. I mean, you as a Satan, it's as much as a guy's worth. Boy, they even give him a machine now that chews his rattles for him. And he goes on up to about 4 or 5, and they got all the space opera he could possibly manage. They're going to key all that in on him. And then they're going to, about the age of 5, he suddenly wakes up to the fact, you know, this stuff doesn't shoot. Huh. He'll try it on his teacher or something of the sort the first day in kindergarten. It doesn't work. And then they keep him in a cage for the next 16 years. Great society. Just the place we need for lots of randomity and action and sport and fun. So aesthetic, too. You turn a button and something goes, meh, and a picture comes on, which is a horrible grade of picture. Somebody televised a color program the other night, Donald O'Connor on the Colgate Comedy Hour. They did it all in color, but I noticed the set was picking it up in very poor black and white. I finally realized what they were doing with that. They had actually put some color into the TV set in order to televise it in color. It made the black and white pictures look very, really a lot better than they ordinarily look. You know, the black and white screen. It's not pretty, though. Television is just stinking. As a picture. Radio, they just got radio up to a point where it was worthwhile with FM, where you got some kind of sound that was fairly reliable, and then knocked it out. They couldn't stand that. So now they've got movies up to the point, though, where you have, if anybody, an usher, were to walk across the stage during the picture, where you'd have the audience yelling at him for 15 minutes to get out of the way of the screen. You know, they got those screens up there now, and it makes the women about 40-foot Amazons or something they look like. They sort of lean over the audience as though they're about to devour the audience at any moment. The men there, they're sort of leaning over the audience, too. It's tremendous. And trains come by, 8 times life-size, and so on. The audience sits there and realizes that it's awfully small. They've been told that all during school, told it every place. They're less and less significant, and that there's more and more significance to be found. Anytime you get a society which does not permit anybody to jettison the mock-up, which has everything all rigged up automatically. If you fell in a fit out here on the street, see, they've got it all rigged up. I mean, ping, ping, ping. You'd be in a hospital, and then you'd recuperate. Brother, you sure would, see. This is interesting, isn't it? That it just doesn't occur to a person that it's not a particularly desirable thing to have around a society which just keeps on running forever and ever, no changing it, getting more and more solid, and people wanting more and more unconsciousness and wanting less and less pain, and no work. That's the big motto. And on those gauges, you get you get with that gauge a pretty decent idea of what man is combating. He's running almost exactly backwards. The idea is, if you got a markup, let it be a beautiful markup, and expend it. See? You can always make a new markup. But now, they made it so complex to get a new markup. See? Oh, it's big systems, big communication systems. You read all about it when you're a kid, you see, and then you're forbidden it all during school. And then you finally propose to the girl, and you court her for a long time, and then you finally marry her with all this and that. They got this communication system of how you get a new markup. See, and then you have a baby, and it's not yours. You're still running the same markup. What a jip. You know, if you pry into cases, you'll find out that they're quite upset by this. Every once in a while, they suddenly realize they're not running this new markup. They don't have a new markup. Well, all due respect to that, life is neither bad nor good, but it gets overbalanced once in a while, and then somebody gets hard to pry out of his head. Well, how do you pry people out of their head? Well, they certainly can't go on the idea that everything's got to persist, got to persist, got to persist, and that they must remain unconscious. Well, you can't pry them out of your head. They're not happy about it either. What happened to them? They died, and they had to live. You can just count on that. They dragged around a body that was blind. Remember that in every black case. It's always there. They dragged around a body that was blind. They dragged around one that should have dropped dead. They were brought back into the land of the living. And even now as you process them, sometime in this present life, they have been brought back into the land of the living against their will and are still under protest. And they don't like people for making them do it either. They'll go on sort of soberly and somberly and with great protest inwardly, and they'll do some kind of a job outwardly, so forth. But to hell with it, they're still dragging that markup. They want a new one. Now, as consciousness deteriorates, a person becomes less and less aware of what has transpired. And during the last few decades here on Earth, consciousness has gotten so poor that there's been no spontaneous recall on earlier existences and actually no great awareness on what a person was doing. Actually, in this universe, those beings that have been in this universe the whole track, it was probably several trillion years ago when they first started to do a flip on real close remembrance of what they were doing. Because the amount of consciousness which a person can have and the amount of consciousness which he has are two widely different things. Now, awareness. Consciousness is awareness. Awareness itself is perception. You want to know why this case is black. He's just unwilling to be aware. And he's using time to destroy it all. He's sort of broken down to the point where he says, well, sooner or later it'll wear out. And sure enough, when you ask him to fix up a mock-up, he'll make awful sure that there's some methods of getting eaten up or chewed up or used up in some fashion or another before he's really going to make a mock-up. If you were to mock up a big machine, which guaranteedly would eat up his mock-ups, he would be very happy to make one. But you're not liable to get him to make one until you get such a guarantee across to him. It isn't willfulness on his part. He's actually stumbling along, lost in this counterpoint. One, we must all survive, and the whole universe must survive, and you mustn't cease to survive at any moment. See, there are many ways of surviving. It's all you're all going to survive anyhow. But the point of it is somebody saying you've got to survive as a unit organism. Boy, is that introducing an arbitrary? I dare say there are people right here who have been laboring under this as an onerous arbitrary. There must be at least four or five here. This is an onerous arbitrary. So they picked the mock-up up out of the wreck. So they picked it up off the operating table. So they went on living. The hell with them. Kill it. No, not against, not allowed. They know they're going to be arrested if they commit suicide. They're not even supposed to appear in the between lives area if they've done something like that. I mean, they're supposed to make it all persist. Now, you as an auditor come along, you take this fellow, and you say, all right, be 3 feet back here. He says, hell with you. You're a human being. You're making me do it. I don't want it.
haven't got any of that mock-up in the first place. I haven't got any place to go. I'm lost, like everybody else. Sorry, there's nothing you can do about me. I'll make you persist, damn you. I'll make you persistently audit. How long are we going to make you audit? Let's see. They lick their chops hungrily and start all out for a 1,000-hour session. Persistence. They're not doing it mean. It's just these factors which are adding up to this conclusion. See? It's got to persist. All right, they'll make it persist. Now, there's this one, you know. Did you ever make your mother wrong by doing exactly what she said? That's known as a white mutiny in the Navy. Everybody does exactly what they're supposed to do. And, of course, the whole ship will sink. Well, people are making people wrong. How are they making them wrong? You go on living, you're making them dead wrong. Because it's dead wrong for you to go dragging around the mock-up after a certain period of time. When a mock-up loses the potentiality of high joy and sensation and high velocity, well, it's time to bury it with preferably military honors after some enormously grand sacrifice, you know. Bing, crash, boom, skyrockets, you know. Bang. A lot of randomity, and then everybody says, poor old Bill. He served his country. He's gone. He rescued his whole regiment at the cost of his life and got a posthumous medal, too. So there's Bill. Well, all right. You'd be surprised how many times you're pre-clear, the age of 12, 10, 13, 14, started thinking, gee, if I could only serve my country with my life. You look a little deeper, and he's inquiring for the way out. That would pay for his jettisoning the responsibility he has to his friends and family. So he's trying to equate this. What's the basic solution he's trying to solve? Every time he solves the problem on the basis of more safety, less death, and so on, he digs himself in deeper because he is wasting in the real universe all future randomity. He's cutting down all car wrecks. He's cutting down all deaths by battle. He's cutting down all this and all that. He's just making randomity short. It isn't that randomity is death, but you can't have much randomity if you're afraid of dying, and if nobody will let you die. You see? If fear of death, too much love of living and too much fear of dying makes cowards of us all, somebody said. Hell, it does. The messed universe doesn't let you die. And so, of course, if you have to be careful not to die, you can't have any randomity. So, boy, does it get dull. And then they tell you, well, you'll be in heaven 8 billion years or an inconceivable time. You're in heaven for 15 minutes, by the way, only it's not heaven. Then, in terms of messed time. Well, now, where do we have an entrance to the problem? What process do we use that solves it? We have just straight, ordinary, routine duplication in creative processing. We just duplicate the incident. That's the most basic one we've got, see? And at 5 level, we can double terminal it. You know, just double terminal somebody trying to stay conscious while people want them to be unconscious. And then we double terminal people wanting to stay unconscious while people want them to be conscious. We could just double terminal this and get away with it, see? That's about the crudest process. One view of the fact your PC doesn't have very much mock-ups or something like that. We can still get away with it. So he puts up his mock-up often enough. He'll eventually get one there. It's wiping out before he puts it up because he's trying to wipe out a mock-up. And he's damned if he'll put out more mock-ups. They won't let him go free. So he's certain to have an unmarker before it's created. Certain to have that. It's not too much action which is worrying him. It's too little. And so he answers this with no action. He's in full protest. Resistance to the universe. All right, that's our first technique. Well, what's our next technique? As I say, end of cycle, of course, is a finite stop. you'll find people who have not finished a spiral. A couple hundred billion years ago, he was in some kind of a spiral, and he was young, and he was going to do so much, and they were on their way to attack. He had one small rocket ship or something of the sort, and he was on his way to attack the main fleet as a complete sacrifice, and his starboard tubes exploded because of an engineering error, and it blew him up. End of spiral. See, it's just hanging there. He didn't get a stop action. He didn't complete the action. That isn't a bad one. He'll bring that one out to do you and show it to you like a kind of a medal. See, it's that stinking one where he died in that tenement without ever having lived. He went on for years, and he never lived any of those years. That is the worst of it. He's always waiting for life to begin, and that's much closer to a start, so it's much more persistent and much more severe as a chop of cycle. Because he did get started. He did have a body, but then nothing ever happened. And boy, that guy stuck right there with getting the body. And you find people who are stuck in the assumption have had this happen to them. You find somebody hung up badly in the assumption, he just never considers that he ever got to do anything in this life, that's all. Doesn't matter what he has done, not in terms of action, color, beauty, and drama. He hasn't had these things. So if he hasn't had them, he's just stuck right at the start. And the start was when he was damn fool enough to pick up this particular mock-up and find out that Papa was safety crazy, and that Mama wouldn't even let him burn his hands. And they put him in a cage and gave him a good education for just years and years. And this guy just beat, that's all. He just never gets started. He'll be stuck in the assumption. And you can just conclude on any case that's stuck in the assumption that this is his course of action. He just never got started. Complete lack of drama. Now we've got end of cycle on this one. We mock him up, trying to resist unconsciousness and succeeding, and the other people trying to make him unconscious, perishing. That finishes the cycle of action. See, they're trying to make him unconscious, and he kills them. That doesn't appear to be an end of cycle, does it? Yes, it is. That's a reflex action. See, he tried to be conscious, and he succeeded in being conscious. We know that because he put a period to the people trying to make him unconscious. See? Untold. All right, that's not a strong end of cycle. The other one, we mock him up as unconscious, mock up a body as unconscious, preferably two bodies as unconscious, and have him leave. And two more bodies as unconscious and have him leave. And then we're really going to have to complete the cycle of action on the next one, which is to mock up two bodies, unconscious, he leaves, and the bodies die. But you needn't add that in until you've done it a few times to kind of break him in. But that's the technique. Get him good and dead, real nice and dead. You know, impossible to survive. You know, cut their throats and fix up their arteries so no blood will pump, and they bring their heart out and cut it in half and mangle it up one way or the other. And so do we know there's an absolute period on that body. When you've done this as a cycle of action, the body goes unconscious and he leaves and the body dies. That's at least an end of a cycle of action. You get some that show up. His dental operation, an incident 200 years ago, earlier incidents of when he ran into this planet. This stuff will start pouring off. Do you validate it? No. Just keep running end of cycle, end of cycle. What's end of cycle? Dead. Best end of cycle is the guy landing on a planet dead. That's good end of cycle. See, he tried to get to the anchor point, and he got there, and he died. It's a beautiful sadness of him having executed the missions liable to turn on, but don't bother to rub it out. More important. End of cycle. Now, let's run the rest of the end of cycle.
He gets to the body in pawn area and finds a body. Now we run this one for a while. We get him coming into an area and finding the body alive and taking it away. And we just keep running this in duplicate mock-ups. I say just making them appear and disappear or throwing them away or something of that sort. And at first they'll come back like mad. He'll make a mock-up disappear and back it'll come again. And I make it disappear, and back it'll come again. And if you run it for a while, if the case doesn't know what you're doing, he gets frantic. He just wants to, oh. All these times when he's safely, carefully shoved off and mock up spoiled, so what? So what? He's shoved off. Gone. Now you're only handling bodies. But you've ended enough cycles on the body that you've solved that problem for him. You've got time. He's got this stuff off the time track. He's not trying to finish this, which is in itself the key to persistence. Trying to finish. All right, what's our next clue on this? You have to handle this as a thetan. What's the end of cycle for a thetan? As far as this universe is concerned, to be it and eat it. Finish it. Boom. That's end of cycle for this universe. Would make us process it out, huh? Blow it up. Get the idea. You'd be surprised. Thetans have come along early on the track. They blow up a planet. Why? Just to put a finite end to something. But that's a finite end for the Thetan in this universe. Have him eat it up. Blow it up. Smack it up. Smash it up. Expand it up. Do everything there is to do, one after the other, any way you could think of finishing off the mesh universe. And we're not teaching this structure or advising the structure. It just so happens. We're talking about life in the spirit's action with regard thereto. And the second we study this, we find out that the beast of a jungle is a panty waist. He's a punk. And it's a symptom of Thetan, by the way, that their teamwork long ago deteriorated and has come back together again as a body. And you will start pushing somebody up the track and his own teamworkingness is liable to deteriorate and then come back. It's real rare, you know, that a Thetan, most Thetans that you see around, they won't talk to you. So on. They don't have anything to say unless you're just hypnotically strong as far as they're concerned. They just, you kind of trance them. And then they chatter. Fantastic, that's true. They're quite scared. They're quite leery. That is, every time they have a mock-up, somebody's stolen. What's he trying to do? He's trying to put up a mock-up that is beautiful, that will produce some randomity and do something. And he's trying to keep others from interfering with the game. Now, how many ways are there to stop a game? And one of them is make it continue forever. And that's the way you really stop a game. And to my calculation, this game has been stopped on mess time for itself about 200 billion years. It's really been on crutches. Well, you know, the fastest spaceships were going here a relatively short time ago, a million years or so ago. About the fastest they were going was 50, 60 light years. They just slowed down to a stop, hardly anything. I imagine now if there's saucers out there or something like that, they're probably traveling at 500,000 miles a second. If that. Slow. Now, the point I'm making here is how many ways are there to stop a game? Well, actually, for Thetans, the best way to stop one is start one. That stops a game. There isn't any reason to blow up the playing field. No reason. No good reason. If you can just start a game for it. So you might as well set your mind to what you're doing. But if you continue to process on the basis that you think all of this super survival, drag it out as a unit organism,
is desirable, that pain is detestable, and that unconsciousness is desirable, why, you're going to have an awful hard time processing the five, because that happens to be a lie. Those things happen to be a lie. Unconsciousness is not desirable. You want better perception? You'll have to give you more consciousness. Pain is desirable. Work is desirable. And end of cycle, always. End of cycle. And he's left and come back, and the mock-up which a five is running at this very second, the mock-up which that five is running, ceased to serve him properly, according to him, many, many years before. Now maybe you can process such a case with a little understanding. That's all.